The culture of denial. The more forcefully we ignore something, the more power it has over us and the more strongly it influences us. Looking undistractedly into the animal-derived foods produced by modern methods, we inescapably find misery, cruelty, and exploitation. We therefore avoid looking deeply at our food if it is of animal origin, and this practice of avoidance and denial applied to eating, our most basic activity and vital ritual, carries over automatically into our entire public and private life. We know deep down that we cannot look deeply anywhere, for if we do, we will have to look deeply into the enormous suffering our food choices directly cause. So we learn to stay shallow and to be willingly blind to the connections we could see. Otherwise, our remorse and guilt would be too painful to bear. The acknowledged truth would also conflict too strongly with our self-image, causing serious cognitive dissonance and emotional disturbance. We choose to ignore and thus choose to be ignorant and inattentive. Being unwilling and unable to see, confront, and take responsibility for the hidden ocean of horror that our most basic activity causes to those who are as sentient and vulnerable as we are, we have split ourselves into a schizophrenia of politeness and civility that lives uneasily with the remorseless cruelty that surfaces whenever we obtain or eat animal foods. I believe this split is the fundamental unrecognized wound we modern humans suffer, and from it many other wounds and divisions naturally and inevitably follow. It is so deep and terrible that it is taboo to discuss it publicly. Choosing to be blind to what we are actually doing when we shop for, prepare, and eat food, we blind ourselves not only to the horror and suffering we are instigating and eating, but also to the beauty of the world around us. This acquired inability to actually see and appreciate the overwhelming loveliness of this earth allows us to ravage forests and oceans and systematically destroy the natural world. Becoming insensitive to the pain we cause daily to defenseless animals, we also become insensitive to the beauty and luminosity of the creation that we oppress and from which we disconnect at every meal. The desensitizing of millions of children and adults on the massive scale that consuming millions of tortured animals daily requires sows countless seeds of human violence, war, poverty, and despair. These outcomes are unavoidable, for we can never reap joy, peace, and freedom for ourselves while sowing the seeds of harming and enslaving others. We may speak of love, kindness, freedom, and a gentler world, yet it is our actions, especially those that are habitually practiced, that determine what future outcomes we and others will experience. The cycles of violence that have terrorized people both historically and today are rooted in the violence of our daily meals. Though animals cannot retaliate like other people can, our violence toward them retaliates against us. Inheriting cruelty. By confining and killing animals for food, we have brought violence into our bodies and minds and disturbed the physical, emotional, mental, social, and spiritual dimensions of ourselves in deep and intractable ways. Our meals require us to eat like predators and thus to see ourselves as such, cultivating and justifying predatory behaviors and institutions that are the antithesis of the inclusiveness and kindness that accompany spiritual growth. Because cruelty is inescapable in confining, mutilating, and slaughtering animals for food, we have been forced from childhood to be distracted and inattentive perpetrators of cruelty. None of us ever consciously and freely chose to eat animals. We have all inherited this from our culture and upbringing. Going into the baby food department of any grocery store today, we see it immediately. Beef-flavored baby food, chicken, veal, and lamb baby food, and even cheese lasagna baby food. Well-meaning parents, grandparents, friends, and neighbors have forced the flesh and secretions of animals upon us from before we can remember. As infants, we have no idea what veal, turkey, egg, or beef actually are, or where they come from. We don't know what horror is visited upon helpless creatures in order to create the easily available concoctions being spooned into our little teething mouths. We find out slowly, and by the time we do, the cruelty and perversity involved seem natural and normal to us. We are never told that we humans are not designed to eat the large quantities of animal foods typical of our culture. We are never told of the extreme confinement, the routine unanesthetized castrations and other mutilations, and the brutal and often botched killings that stare up at us every day from our bowls and plates, and that we unthinkingly chew while watching television, reading, or conversing. Thus, our deepest and most blessed connection with the earth and with the mystery of infinite spiritual consciousness, our daily meals, have become rituals of distraction and repressed sensitivity and guilt, rather than rituals of heart-opening gratitude, connectedness, blessedness, and love. The price we pay for this is incalculable and includes, among other things, the dulling of our innate intelligence and compassion, and a consequent loss of peace, freedom, and joy. The withering of intelligence. Intelligence is the ability to make meaningful connections, and this is true for all living systems, such as humans, animals, communities, and societies. Participating in daily rituals that repress our ability to make connections severely impedes our intelligence, even amid our current glut of so-called information, and destroys our ability to deal effectively with the serious problems we generate. Because we are adept at disconnecting from the suffering we impose on animals, we naturally and inevitably become adept at disconnecting from the suffering we impose on hungry people, living biosystems, war-ravaged communities, and future generations. Our skills in forcefully blocking feedback also make us easily distracted and manipulated by corporate interests whose profits depend on our inability to make significant connections. Compassion is ethical intelligence. It is the capacity to make connections and the consequent urge to act to relieve the suffering of others. Like cognitive intelligence, it is suppressed by the practice of eating animals. The ability to disconnect, practiced at every mealtime, is seen in perhaps more chilling guise in the modern scientist slowly freezing dogs to death to learn about human physiology, in modern soldiers looking straight into the eyes of helpless civilians and killing them, in hunters deceiving and chasing defenseless animals and killing them for sport, and in countless other legal and approved cultural activities. As long as we remain, at core, a culture that sees animals merely as commodities and food, there is little hope for our survival. The systematic practice of ignoring, oppressing, and excluding that is fundamental to our daily meals disconnects us from our inner wisdom and from our sense of belonging to a benevolent and blessed universe. By actively ignoring the truth of our interconnectedness, we inescapably commit geocide and suicide and forsake the innate intelligence and compassion that would guide us. I, thou versus I, it. In the 1920s, the philosopher Martin Buber introduced and articulated an essential distinction in our relations with others and in our consequent sense of self that is increasingly recognized for its importance. Proposing that we do not develop our sense of I in isolation, but rather through relationship with others, he went on to say that when we relate to others as being conscious and as having feelings, experiences, desires, and purposes, we develop an I-thou sense of self. When we relate to others as objects, as having no significant desires, purposes, or consciousness of their own, we develop an I-it sense of ourselves. Cultivating an I-thou sense of self, we cultivate respect and sensitivity towards others and ourselves. Cultivating an I-it sense of self, we tend to relate to others as instruments to be used, This I-it sense of self leads to an increasingly deadened and depersonalized view of nature, animals, and other people, and to an inner hardening that shields us from feeling the pain of whomever and whatever we are using, consuming, and exploiting. According to Buber, the I-it sense of self requires and fosters an inner insensitivity that leads to an ever-increasing craving to consume more things. This ironic and impossible quest for happiness and fulfillment by an objectified, separate, anxious self that reduces others to instruments to be used for pleasure and gain is a primary driving force behind consumerism and the runaway industrialization, corporate capitalism, and environmental and social devastation that this mentality inevitably manifests. While Buber's insights are certainly provocative and illuminating, it seems he failed to recognize the deeper dynamic responsible for the I-it sense of self. The food choices we learn from birth, in which mysterious, sensitive, and intelligent beings are continually and unquestioningly reduced to mere food objects to be used, killed, and eaten. It's remarkable, we might think, that Buber couldn't make this rather obvious connection in over 40 years of meditating and writing on the I-thou and I-it mentalities. Yet what is far more remarkable is that out of the thousands of leading writers and researchers in the physical sciences, human sciences, and humanities over the last 100 years, virtually no one has produced a sentence on the subject. These great minds were among the most innovative and courageous of their time, willing to risk controversy and daring to offer the world many new ideas in sociology and social theory, psychology, philosophy, systems theory, science, economics, history, government, anthropology, theology, comparative religion, and spirituality. How could something so central and obvious to our lives and thinking, our treatment of animals for food, go ignored by and invisible to so many for so long? It's eerie to contemplate the mountains of books, articles, essays, lectures, and documentaries produced by and about the great minds of modernity, and to realize how unmentionable this subject is. The idea that our routine violence against animals for food could be a primary driving force behind human suffering and war has managed to remain virtually completely unthinkable to this day. Even the more radical and contemporary voices have been unwilling or unable to seriously address this subject, as have virtually all the current writers and leaders in the human potential, spiritual, environmental, social justice, holistic health, and peace movements. This is not meant in any way as a criticism of any of these fine people and their contributions and ideas, but is intended rather to emphasize the amazing resistance that our entire culture has to confronting its defining behavior, which is as pervasively obvious as cheeseburger ads and fried chicken, but at the same time as invisible as air and uncannily unapproachable. That is because we have all agreed that, at all costs, this truth must be ignored. One of Carl Jung's notable contributions was to articulate the character of the shadow archetype. It is what the self is and includes, but denies and represses. Though it is repressed, the shadow will be heard, and is invariably projected in harmful and perhaps insidious ways. Our mistreatment of animals for food is far and away our greatest cultural shadow. Our collective guilt drives us not only to hide the violence we eat, but also to act it out in our aggressive lifestyle, in movies, books, games, and other media, and in the violence we inflict both directly and indirectly on each other. We are all mysteries. Our ongoing practice of commodifying animals for food, besides violating the natural order in profound ways that cause enormous unrecognized suffering to us and to the other animals, also blinds us to what we and the other animals actually are. It's important to say other animals here because to set them apart from us is a tactic of exclusion used to perpetuate exploitation and cruelty toward these beings. It also reinforces the absurd notion that humans are not animals. Mammals with bodies, brains, glands, reproductive systems, drives, and nervous systems. We feel pain and pleasure like other animals, and we feel, dream, and relate socially to our species members as other animals do. We err if we reduce ourselves to the status of mere material entities that are born, live a while, and die. Like other animals, we are not fundamentally physical beings. We are essentially consciousness. We are all expressions of the infinite creative mystery force that births and sustains the universes of manifestation, and our bodies and minds are sacred, as are the bodies and minds of all creatures. Like us, animals have feelings and yearnings. They nest, mate, hunger, and are the conscious subjects of their lives. They make every effort, as we do, to avoid pain and death and to do what brings them happiness and fulfillment. What we human beings are fundamentally is an enormous mystery. The institutions of science, religion, education, and government have done very little, ultimately, to reveal to us in any profound or transformational way what we humans essentially are. We remain perhaps as mysterious to ourselves as we were in the days of Moses, Buddha, Confucius, and Jesus. Some may argue that we know more and have certainly evolved more. Others may argue that we know less of what is truly vital and are more distracted and benighted than in earlier times. No one, though, can argue that we are not mysteries to ourselves for all our scientific and theological investigations. And just as we do not actually know what a man or woman is, neither do we know what a mare or stallion is, or a dog, an elephant, an eagle, a dolphin, a chicken, a swordfish, a lobster, an alligator, a mouse, a butterfly, an earthworm, a honeybee, or a housefly. They are all utterly mysterious to us, perhaps even more mysterious than we are to ourselves. They are truly others, and this essential understanding should create in us a sense of humility, wonder, and respect. Unfortunately, though, we invent mental categories for the infinitely mysterious beings we encounter, such as blacks, slaves, and pagans, or food animals, game, pests, and laboratory animals. These categories, and the violence with which we treat the magnificent beings thus categorized, do not fundamentally change or cheapen that sacred and enigmatic nature. They only cloud and enslave our minds with a distorted thinking born of our exclusionary and self-serving attitude. The light of the infinite spiritual source of all life shines in all creatures. By seeing and recognizing this light in others, we free both them and ourselves. This is love. Failing to see it, often because we never experienced others seeing it in us, we imprison ourselves, mistaking the confines of the shallows for the deep and free. By seeing other animals merely as objects to be exploited for food, we have torn the fabric of essential harmony so deeply that we have created a culture that enslaves itself, often without realizing it. The domination of humans by humans is a necessary outgrowth of dominating other animals for food. As Jim Mason has demonstrated in An Unnatural Order, there is a strong historical link between the human enslavement of other humans and the human enslavement of animals for food. This enslaving mentality of domination and exclusion lies at the core of the spiritual malaise that allows us to wage war upon the earth and upon each other. Love is understanding. When I was young, I often wondered if our culture really had to be like this. I've discovered that it does not. We can all make a most profound contribution to cultural transformation and world peace with our meals, which are our most vital connection to our culture and to the natural world. making the effort to cultivate our awareness and see beyond the powerful acculturation we endured brings understanding. Healing, grace, and freedom come from understanding. Love understands. From understanding, we can embrace our responsibility and become a force for blessing the world with our lives, rather than perpetuating disconnectedness and cruelty by proxy. With awareness, our behavior naturally changes, and individual changes in behavior, rippling through the web of relationships, can lead to social transformation and bring new dimensions of freedom, joy, and creativity to everyone. It all begins with our most intimate and far-reaching connection with the natural order, our most primary spiritual symbol, and our most fundamental social ritual, eating.